Bless you, beautiful hearts. It's Sunday, March 21st, 2021. This morning, I want to share on what's on our calendar. The return of Christ for the saints is on God's calendar. Throughout the ages of the world, regardless of beliefs, experience has shown that it could be today or maybe another 1,000 years. Who among us knows? How many have in mind an accurate expectation concerning the return of Christ? Today, I want to focus on the truths concerning the coming of Christ for the church. There are certainly all kinds of beliefs out there on this subject, because the truth concerning Jesus Christ have the greatest impact upon our lives. Everything about life and all things relating to death, including what happens after our earthly departure, are all wrapped up in Him. Concerning our present lives and our future, it is right that we desire to know the truth. None of us can deny our past understanding or misunderstanding about spiritual matters. As individuals, that is where we came from. It's easy to fall into the category of innocently remodeling what we think we already know. For many of us, it's a matter of demolishing our current belief system in order to build upon the solid foundation of truth. It is common to inadvertently accept and retain information without checking it out in the Bible. Most of our beliefs are introduced through familial and religious traditions. Poems, sayings, song lyrics, and movies become food for self-developing beliefs. We gather them by way of some emotional connection. With these aspects in mind, can you see how vital to us the instruction given in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. According to this verse, there's no need to be ashamed. The word God gave to his holy men is for us to know and understand it. It provides for mankind his design for faith building. Where there were previously flawed beliefs, God's powerful word will dismantle those along with their emotional ties. When you continue reading this section of 2 Timothy, you see that the context of this verse is in regard to false teachers who erred from the truth by teaching the believers that the resurrection was already past. We are to follow after what we know, not obsess over those things not available for us to know. Verse 23 calls them foolish and unlearned questions and says, avoid them, because they cause strife. They cause those in the body of Christ to fight over God's calendar entries. There is no need to be ashamed of something we are not to know, but we study to know what we can know. For those of us who have believed on God's Son, who love Christ, there is no need to be ashamed. We know from the scriptures that we are born again, functioning members of the body of Christ. We have God's assurance that we will be accounted for, whether alive or asleep in Christ, at the return of Christ. The major interest concerning Christ's return is, of course, when will it be? This has been a consistent pursuit throughout the ages. Both Connie and I recall, and you may too may most likely times in our childhood, where we heard adults talking about the prediction for the end of the world. They would always come and go without anything happening. The sun would set on the proclamation day and rise again the next. It's an honest question. When will Christ return? Mark 13:32 gives the answer. But of that day, talking about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ's return for the church, and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Who is this talking? It's talking, it's the Son, Jesus Christ. He does not know when. The angels don't know, and even I don't know, he tells them. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, the New Living Translation reads, "It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed." Here we see what is known, the angels of heaven know, mankind is able to know, even Lucifer who fell from heaven, and the fallen angels who follow him know. Certainly the Son of God knows he will be coming back, just not the day and the hour. No need for us to feel left out of the loop. Don't feel badly for even a second. Rest assured in the Father's knowledge of exactly when Christ will return, and his timing will be perfect according to his perfect will in all things. God is everlasting to everlasting. The second coming of Christ will not be a blink of an eye too soon, nor a nanosecond too late. The return of Christ will be in the fullness of God's time. I repeat this because it's important. No man or woman know. The angels of heaven do not know. The fallen angels do not know. Even the Son of God does not know. Astronomers, research scientists, and even biblical scholars will burn the midnight oil on this one, but they will never figure out that which is known only by the Father. Only God knows, and no other being is going to wheedle it out of him. There won't be leaks to the press about it, about the end of the world or the return of Christ, although there has and will be lots of fake news on the subject. We all hear about wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, Antichrist, and these things taken as signs of the times. We must be getting close. Well, that is true. With every passing day, we are one day closer. But truly, we have been in the end times since the day God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. My thinking is simple, and I'm sure frustrating to researchers. God knows when it will be, and nothing will cancel or delay Christ's appearance in the clouds to gather the saints, both those alive and them that are asleep in him. If Jesus said no man knows the day or hour, I must not need to know whether we know or don't know the day and the hour the believers will be gathered by Christ. There is no chance that any one of us are going to miss it. We'll be in on it. Mm-hmm. On our calendar, when we schedule events, we mark the day of the event, and then we walk back on the calendar, adding in time for adequate preparation. In this situation, we can't handle it like that, because we don't know the day, the hour of the event. But according to Jesus, we can be prepared. In fact, in verse 33, Jesus went on to say that in light of not knowing the time, we should, Mark 13:33, "Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for you know not when that time is." The word translated, "take ye heed," is a verb, so there's an action involved. It is most usually rendered as to see, but its meaning goes further than a glance or a visual skimming. It entails turning the eyes to gaze upon, to perceive by the senses. Metaphorically, it indicates seeing with the mind's eye, directing the mind to things for consideration and contemplation in order to understand and carefully look into. Watch literally means to be sleepless, but this word used only four times means vigilance over something, being intent upon a thing. It does not refer to the physical state of sleeplessness. Pray is the word used for the most inclusive type of prayer, like prayers of praise, petitions, intercessions. Ye know not. Not only do you not know, you cannot perceive the information God has chosen to keep to himself. Like I said, no one is going to wheedle it out of God. Some have guessed, others even back in the first century church said Christ had already returned. And many have given their lives to research to try and figure it all out, and their search can be convincing. I think 2018 was the last big prediction of Christ's return. Thousands of people joyfully flocked together to be present for the event on man's calendar. They traveled from all over to be to the closest to the line of the eclipse that would mark the return of Christ. It was all for naught. Christ did not return at that time. When we hear these news stories, we might chuckle, but it's really heartbreaking. If you put yourself in the shoes for a moment, consider the hearts of those who were led to expect the most joyous event ever, only to be deeply disappointed in their expectation, and then feel like a laughingstock before all who know them. It's the exact opposite of the word's account of the return of Christ for the saints. So, what would the Father have us to do leading up to the most glorious of days? And what about all the time to search out the day and hour? If Jesus said, "No man knows," I have to wonder if it's presumptuous endeavor to commit one's life to finding out something that Jesus said only the Father would know. As I said, the day and hour are on God's calendar. So what should we schedule our calendar? After all, we are in preparation for the most magnificent event of Christ's second coming. For that, there are instructions after telling his disciples to see, watch, and pray. Jesus gave this illustration so beautifully in Mark 13:34, and I'm going to read it to you from the New Living Translation. The coming of the Son of Man can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. When he left home, he gave each of his servants instructions about the work they were to do, and he told the gatekeeper to watch for his return. Verse 35, "For you too must keep watch, for you don't know when the master of the house will return, in the evening, at midnight, before dawn, or at daybreak. Don't let him find you sleeping when he arrives without warning." Verse 37, "I say to you what I say to everyone, watch for him." Jesus lived this way. Again, he is our example. There are many exhortations to think like Christ, like Romans 13:14 tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and think his thoughts. Colossians 3:2 says, "We should set our affection on things above and not on things on the earth." So, what do you think he is doing while awaiting God's sending him to gather the saints? He's not just trilling with his feet up. Remember, Christ knows he is coming back, just not the day and hour. So he's ready 24/7, that in the blink of an eye, he's there. He sees, he watches, and he makes intercession for us before the Father. He is faithful to fulfill all God has given him to do. That's exactly how we handle our patient waiting for Christ. For his return. Until his return, we want to be attentive, cautious, active, wise to anything that would take us off our course. We do not want to be found sleeping or having a carnal indifference to spiritual things on the part of believers. Then, whenever that is, in the blink of an eye, he is our personal expectation. 1 Corinthians 15:51 from the New Living Translation. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in the moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, then those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. Verse 33, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. Verse 57, but thanks God, he gives us the victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Every believer thinks they will stand a lifetime for God, but the enemy is always after God's word. Since he cannot touch God, he wants to get rid of the word, particularly in our lives. Satan tries to sow distrust for God concerning this stunning event. He works relentlessly to deceive us that Jesus was not victorious over his evil spirit realm. He wants us to think we can lose our salvation and miss the return of Christ. In our patient waiting for Christ, we are busy preserving what we have studied and believed so it remains alive from generation to generation. It's about passing on to the next generation the truths we have rightly divided in order to have a prosperous journey in life. Psalm 78, verse 4 says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praise of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. Then in Psalm 78, verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That is a big job, but we are thoroughly and well equipped with truth. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God or God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, one who speaks for God, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The word of God supplies us with all we need to accomplish all that he would have us to do. Throughout the word of God, it has been God's desire that men and women would know him, and that is what we bring to the table. We speak to others concerning our love and praise for him, for the Father, for God. Psalm 45, verse 17 says, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generation. Therefore shall people praise thee forever and ever. Sure, isn't God worthy of all praise? Especially for all this wonderful plan he has and for including us in it. We are the ones, folks, we are the ones to make him known, just as Jesus came to do. That's what is on our calendar, or should be on our calendars. Now, we remain busy about the Father's business as we await the momentous event, the Lord's return. That is on his calendar. Even though we don't know the day, nor we know the hour, we study, we commit these truths to our heart. We take heed to mentally perceive spiritual matters. We remain awake in our minds and souls. We pray all kinds of prayers. Prayers of praise, prayers of intercession, prayers for petition. We pray on behalf of other believers. We pray on behalf of the world. We pray especially in light of our authority over all the power of the enemy. We remain steadfast, unmovable. God is worthy of the praise of all people forever and ever. Amen.